Good morning, Your Honors. May it please the Court. Eric Newman on behalf of the retired pilots. Your Honor, United's plan of reorganization contains an improper exculpation provision that forces non-consenting retired pilots to release claims that they may have against ALPA without compensation. This provision is improper and would not be permissible under the case law in any of the federal circuits in the United States.
Well, what is left to your case after our decision last March? You seem to describe as a dictum what I thought was actually our holding, which was that the compensation you're seeking for not having been allowed to, you know, get a representative and so on to negotiate with United, we said that could not be quantified, could not be damages. It's it had no structure. You could never get a number out of it.
Your Honor, in the previous case, there were a number of things in the previous opinion. One, under 1113, the retired pilots did not have the right to prevent United under Section 363B1 of the Code from approving the ALPA agreement. The opinion stated that the retired pilots may have had some type of blocking power that was analogous to that any creditor in a bankruptcy proceeding would have, but that there was no way to quantify the value of that blocking power, the blocking power to prevent that agreement from going forward. In this appeal, we have two different issues. We have one, we take issue with the exculpation or release provisions. The other, we say that United has given ALPA and the active pilots...
What are you seeking?
We're seeking, first of all, that the exculpation provision...
No, money. What are you seeking in the way of money?
Your Honor, we're seeking a similar form of compensation that the active pilots are seeking. Now, obviously, there's a different number of...
Be concrete. What is it you want?
Well, Your Honor, there's a different number of retired than active pilots. You would have to take the vested pension rights that the retired and active pilots have.
We expressed our concern in our March opinion about the indefiniteness of the retired pilots' claims. So you had, 6 or months to think about what is it that you are seeking precisely.
We would be seeking somewhere in the neighborhood of $550 million in convertible notes. Although, as I said before,
and you arrive at that figure how?
Well, Your Honor, that would be an actuarial exercise that would be done on remand. But we believe.
How is it? I don't mean how it's calculated to the last penny. What is the theory that generates $550 million?
The retired pilots have vested rights to their pensions under ERISA and under the former collective bargaining agreements with United. Whatever, for each individual retired pilot, they have a certain expectation for pension benefits over the course of their lifetime. So the computation of that would be based on their years of service. It would be based on their final pay for the last 3 years. And once you determined their right to pensions for their lifetime, then you could compare that to the liquidated claim of $550 million in convertible notes that was given to the active pilots. And all we're asking is that the retired pilots be given similar compensation.
But I thought in our previous decision we had said no, that it was perfectly okay for United to make it a very different deal with the active pilots, because the active pilots, of course, are in a very different position relative to United than the retired. The active pilots are flying the planes. That's very important to United. And if they decided not to, if they went on strike or something, that would be a disaster. So, the active pilots had more bargaining power, so they got a better deal.
Exactly, Your Honor.
We said. Now, we said that was perfectly lawful, so I don't understand what this case is about.
Exactly, Your Honor. The previous opinion dealt with bargaining power, and this court held that the retired pilots did not have the right to interfere with the ALPA agreement.
You know what we held. Okay. Now, how is this case different?
But actually, in that opinion, Your Honor, you also said that the retired pilots would have an unsecured claim that would arise from the termination of their pension benefits. And that's what the compensation part of this appeal is all about. So actually, the previous opinion supports
so
the ruling.
$550 million is your unsecured claim? Is that it?
Something approximately that amount, Your Honor. I don't have the exact figure computed. So that's the one half. The other half of our appeal deals with the exculpation provision, and as I was discussing before, the exculpation provision is improper under the law of every other circuit.
Well, now, let's stop with the first half. So why isn't it entirely reasonable for the bankruptcy court to say, you know, there is a big difference between the claims of the active pilots and the retired pilots? Mm-hmm. Because the active pilots are much more important to the company than the retired pilots. So why isn't it legitimate to, you know, establish different creditor classes?
Your Honor, there are cases that say that you can't discriminate in favor of a trade creditor just because you're going to continue doing business with the trade creditor. Here, what they've done is they've essentially given ALPA a very generous claim for the termination of the pension plan. And the only claim that the retired pilots have been permitted is a small pennies on the dollar claim for their non-qualified portion. No claim whatsoever for the termination of the qualified portion of the plan. I think that's unfair. It's discriminatory. The retired pilots were a class that voted against the plan, so they also have to satisfy the cram-down provisions.
The money that's going to the active pilots, isn't that the money that was agreed upon between it and United when the active pilots agreed not to oppose termination of their pension plan?
Well, it was part of the ALPA agreement, Your Honor. There's a provision in the ALPA agreement that specifically links termination of the pension plan with the payment of $550 million in convertible notes and other compensation. So that money is paid as a liquidated claim only if the plan is terminated and similar compensation is not provided to the retired pilot.
So what you're saying is, so we said in our previous decision in March, we said it was reasonable for United to make this special deal with the active pilots, cutting out the retired. Now you're saying, in effect, you want to undo that deal by giving your retired pilots exactly the same as the active pilots, after we'd already said it was reasonable for United to distinguish between them.
Absolutely not, Your Honor. We're not contesting the ALPA agreement.
Yes, but if you think of this as something foreseen, they could never have done that deal if they'd known that at the end. They would be required to give exactly the same amount of money to the retired pilots.
Your Honor, all of the other unions...
What am I missing? Other unions.
Pardon?
Isn't it true that that first United makes this special deal with the airline pilots, and we say that's okay. And now you come around and say, well, actually, it wasn't okay, and by making that special deal... Actually, United obligated itself to make the same deal with the retired pilots.
Your Honor,
that's the upshot of your argument.
There are a number of different facets. In the previous...
But that's the effect of your argument. The effect of your argument that if you make a special deal with one group of creditors, and you have very good reasons for why you made that deal with them and not with another group, the retired... Nevertheless, after the deal has been made and has been blessed, the retired come back from the back door and say, we're entitled to exactly the same deal.
Your Honor, under 1129B1 of the Bankruptcy Code, plan proponent...
No, don't quote me. Just confirm, and then you can make your legal argument, but that is the consequence of what you're arguing.
I don't believe so, Your Honor, because we're not contesting the deal between...
You are, in effect. The essence of the deal was differential treatment between active and retired. Better treatment of active. That's the essence of the deal. They cut you out. They ignored you. That's precisely what you're challenging by saying, now we want exactly the same deal. We're entitled to the same treatment that the active pilots got. That's directly contrary to the original deal and to our analysis of that deal.
Your Honor, that's one of the problems that we have with United's argument, is the focus here is not on the nature of the parties. It's not focusing on ALPA being treated vis-a-vis retired pilots. It's with respect to this specific claim that deals with a claim that arises from the termination of the pension plan.
You're not tracking me. What is inaccurate about my statement, which is not about law or anything like that, not legalistic. It's just saying we said the special deal, the preferential treatment of active pilots, was okay. And now you are seeking to undo the preferential aspect of it by giving the same deal to the retired pilots. Isn't that what you're doing? Now, whether it's right or wrong, that's the separate question. That's the next question. But isn't that what you're doing?
There's a number of different provisions in the plan.
You're not answering my question.
With respect...
Is that what you're doing concretely? Not whether it's right or wrong. Is that what you're doing? That is, you're insisting that your clients be treated the same way as the active pilots were treated.
With respect to the claim that arises from the termination of the plan.
If you don't answer my question, I'm going to be upset. Not listen to you anymore.
Don't make him upset either. I mean,
Your Honor, I apologize. I just don't agree with the way that the statement is phrased.
Don't you agree that you're seeking the same amount of money as the active pilots?
With respect to the pension plan, yes.
And that would have made our March decision completely empty. Didn't achieve anything. March decision said you can treat the active pilots better, and now you're telling us you can't treat the active pilots better.
The previous opinion said that the retired pilots would be entitled to an unsecured claim for the termination of the pension plan. We haven't been given anything with respect to the termination of the qualified plan. Now, even if it's not exactly equal, I don't see how that can be fair and consistent with the bankruptcy code. And if I may, I would. What time I do have left, I'd like to reserve for rebuttal.
Okay, thank you, Mr. Newman. Mr. Seligman?
May it please the Court, David Seligman on behalf of United Airlines. Your Honor, a couple points I want to mention. The first point off the bat, it's an argument that I reiterated earlier, so I won't repeat it here. Under the same feasibility doctrine that Your Honor's affirmed the ALPA United agreement back in March, on the same basis, we believe that because this plan of reorganization has been so substantially consummated, that to change it to blue pencil in consideration for the retired pilots at this time would upset the expectations of all the parties, change the capital structure of this company, and we believe that that would be inappropriate at this particular time under this court's precedent, as well as precedent from similar courts have so held from all the other circuits. So I won't reiterate those points. We've made those arguments in the brief. As far as the amounts that the retired pilots are asserting, I know that they didn't get specific on what it is.
Doesn't it really depend on how a decision in favor of the retirees would be implemented? I mean, one way of implementing it might be to add $500 million claim to United's estate, and that presumably would come out of the new equity that's been put into the plan. Another way to do it would be to reshuffle the benefits among the previous creditors in a way that would not prejudice any of the new investors. And, of course, if you did it the latter way, then there wouldn't be any objection, at least on the basis of this, of our UNR doctrine.
Well, what I would say,
doctrine without a name.
Without a name. What I would say to that, Your Honor, that's a good question. What I would say to that point is that if Your Honor would hold that, okay, that 550 had to be split between the parties, between the actives and retired, certainly the actives would not find that satisfactory. They would say that would be a violation of the deal.
I assume they wouldn't find it satisfactory.
Exactly. And it would unwind a bunch of deals, and we would say that given the importance of that deal to this case and the fact that that was the impetus for all the other labor deals, we think it's important that agreement stay the way it is. And that, you know, that deal shouldn't be struck. Again, if the active pilots were okay with that, which I'm sure they won't be, then you're right, as long as it didn't come out of the company's
pockets.
For what
pockets. It's worth, the UNR doctrine is not really a doctrine without a name. I tend to call it Fred.
Well, then we'll refer to it as Fred. The point I wanted to make in terms of how much the retired pilots are seeking, it was curious in their brief. They talked about the pension plan assets. They said two-thirds of the assets are for the benefit of the retired pilots, one-third are for the benefit of the active. So I wouldn't be surprised that if you really held them to it, they'd probably be seeking more than nature of $1 billion of consideration for them. The one point that I wanted to make that the retired pilots continue to ignore is the case from the Sixth Circuit, the United Engineering case, which says that when a pension plan is terminated, only the PBGC and the PBGC only gets the unsecured claim for unfunded benefit liability. So we couldn't, even if we wanted to, give the retired pilots any claim for the termination of the qualified plan. They sought that in this case. When we objected to the retired pilots' claims for unsecured claims based on termination, we objected to it because we said that United Engineering case is what should govern. And the bankruptcy court found that the claim belongs to PBGC only, not to the retired pilots, dismissed their claim. They never appealed that. So for them to be standing here saying that we should get some pension termination compensation, we just can't give it to it. It would be violating fundamental principles of ERISA to give anybody other than the PBGC the unsecured claim in the bankruptcy case based on termination of plan. In contrast, when you look at what the deal that we had with the active pilots, yes, they got $550 million in notes, but they also got a bunch of other consideration. They got some distribution rights to stock. They got a new defined contribution plans. It was part of a whole package deal, and that's one of the things that the bankruptcy court emphasized. You can't pick out pieces here or there. So, again, even for the retired pilots to point to the $550 million in notes, that's really a misnomer because it was part of a package deal. No one piece can be pulled out. They might as well they could have easily said that they should get a defined contribution plan. Which the active pilots got, and that they should get that as opposed to the $550 million in notes. So, again, even if they were right that they should be getting some similar compensation, we literally can't give them compensation. We were able to give it to the active pilots because it was part of a global deal, and it was pursuant to an 1113 collective bargaining agreement that the plan of reorganization implemented, and in that sense, the active pilots have unique rights. The second point I would make is, again, which Your Honor has talked about in colloquy, is the retired pilots are essentially challenging this court's March decision with respect to the affirmance of the United and ALPA arrangement. This court held that it was perfectly acceptable for there to be disparate treatment. Pointed out the differences between active and retired pilots, and all that this plan of reorganization does is implement that previous agreement. It doesn't change the agreement at all. And so, again, for the retired pilots to challenge the plan of reorganization because of the fact that it implements the deal between United and ALPA is a collateral attack on this court's prior order. As to the merits, the retired pilots do point out a couple or seek to challenge the plan of reorganization's classification scheme under a couple of technical bankruptcy code provisions. Those are all without merit. We would point out first that they seem to argue that you have to their underlying theory is that you have to treat claims similarly. But what they don't understand is that in this plan of reorganization, the retired pilots have claims for non-qualified benefits because we couldn't give them qualified benefit termination claims. They also have claims for retiree medical benefits. Those are their claims, and they were treated the same as all other unsecured creditors in this case. They all got stock that got them cents on the dollar. The active pilots didn't have claims. They were not classified. Instead, there was a separate provision of the plan of reorganization that says United shall comply with its collective bargaining agreement, which is assumed in the plan of reorganization. In that respect, the claim of the rights of the active pilots are no different than a landlord who has a lease that's assumed in the plan of reorganization, and under 365, the debtor then has to pay the landlord's claim in full. Certainly, an unsecured creditor can't say, well, it's unfair that the landlord's claim was assumed and he gets paid in full while I get cents in the dollar. Well, no, that's exactly right because of Section 365 in that instance, and the same thing here, Section 1113. So it's apples and oranges for the retired pilots to try and argue that they have the same rights as actives because the retired pilots have claims. The active pilots don't. They have distribution rights under collective bargaining agreement. And therefore, all their technical arguments about classification and all the like fall by the wayside. But even if you were to say, Your Honor, that, well, let's treat them as, in effect, both claims, all Section 1122 says, which they cite, is that similar claims have to be similar claims may be placed in the same class. It doesn't require them to be placed in the same class. It doesn't require for them to have the same kind of treatment. It only says may. So that argument should be rejected outright. In addition, they cite to 1123A4 of the Bankruptcy Code, which says that claims in the same class must receive the same treatment. Here, they're not claims in the same class, and so they don't have to get the same treatment. All the other claims in the classes that the retired pilots were in, they all got the same treatment. They all got cents on the dollar, and they received stock. The third point is, I see that my time is rough. May I just finish this point? Thank you. With respect to the cram-down provisions of 1129, as the bankruptcy court held, yes, in a cram-down situation, you can't discriminate unfairly. But you can fairly discriminate. As long as people's rights are different, you can treat them differently. And the bankruptcy court says, I'm not going to engage in this analysis because I find, as the Seventh Circuit has held, that the rights of the active and the retired pilots are different. With respect to the releases and exculpation, I believe Ms. Saccotti is going to address those points. Thank you, Your Honor.
Okay, thank you, Mr. Seligman. Ms. Saccotti?
Your Honor, we would view IRFA's objection to the release and exculpation provisions of the reorganization plan as really tantamount to an objection to the ALPA agreement. ALPA bargained for a release and exculpation provision the same extent as employed or the same protections employed with respect to other stakeholders who received that protection as part of the ALPA agreement. What the suit that IRPA described to the bankruptcy court when asked why they wanted to challenge these provisions, they want to sue ALPA for not sharing the proceeds of their returns under the ALPA agreement. But, of course, the proceeds of the returns that ALPA recovered under the ALPA agreement were negotiated with respect to concessions made by the active pilots. So, yes, there was a claim. Yes, there were notes that were paid in the event the pilot plan were terminated. There was other consideration as well, but the consideration was for concessions that were made by the active pilots. It was the returns also formed the basis of the compensation for the active pilots to continue to fly the planes for United. At the confirmation hearing, the bankruptcy court overruled IRPA's objection to these provisions by saying that those arguments had been dealt with in connection with the approval of the ALPA agreement. They had been overruled. And, of course, we've had the appeal to this court, and the approval of the ALPA agreement has been affirmed. So we do think that the objection to the release and exculpation provisions is tantamount to simply another form of an attack on the ALPA agreement itself, which has already been affirmed by this court. With respect to the argument that it is somehow otherwise infirm, I would just point out that the exculpation clause does not violate specialty equipment or 524E. The exculpation provision sets a standard of care. It is not a release. It is a distinct concept from a release and simply sets a standard of care that is commonly recognized in plans of reorganization for stakeholders that have contributed to the reorganization. United has acknowledged the significant contribution made by ALPA through the ALPA agreement. It formed a basis for the reorganization plan. It was entirely appropriate for it to be included within those provisions. Thank you.
Okay, thank you very much, Ms. Saccotti. Mr. Newman, your time expired, but you can have a couple of minutes if you'd like.
Your Honors, it's not an oversight that ALPA and United only cited one case in favor of their exculpation clause, PWS Holding. The problem is that case doesn't even support the exculpation clause. Rather, the holding in PWS Holding was that a release that released committee members in their role as committee members was really the same standard that would apply to the liability of a committee member anyway, so that the release provision...
What is the significance of the exculpation clause? I've lost the thread.
The exculpation clause is a release that's just called an exculpation clause.
We're not asking what an exculpation clause does. We're not entirely stupid. The question is whether it has any significance independent of what's gone before. That is, if there's no claim for anything on top of what's in the settlement, why does exculpating ALPA matter? Unless your whole point is to continue with vexatious litigation.
No, the point is that in the appeal that we had before, whether or not the ALPA agreement was in the best interest of the estate was the issue. It was never addressed whether ALPA, the retired pilots paid dues to ALPA for years. ALPA helped secure pension benefits for the pilots that are now retired, and then breached what we would consider to be a fiduciary duty. It's similar to a lawyer. If a lawyer helps procure a fund for a former client, they can't help another client at a later time invade
that fund.
So
are you arguing that a union owes a duty of fair representation to retirees? And that seems inconsistent with Pittsburgh plate glass.
We rejected that expressly.
Not on a going-forward basis, Your Honor, but I believe...
On a going-forward basis. That's the second time we've heard that.
If a union helps secure a benefit for one of its members once that member retires...
Look, that line of argument was rejected by the Supreme Court in Pittsburgh plate glass. Now, if you want to argue that I'm misunderstanding PPG, that would be fine. Am I misunderstanding PPG?
I think that under Pittsburgh plate glass, a union wouldn't have a duty to go out and bargain for benefits for a retiree.
Pittsburgh plate glass held that the union can sell out the retirees. Our decision in March held that the union can sell out the retirees. And if that's true substantively, it can't possibly be the case that they have a fiduciary duty to the retirees.
The only thing that I would say in closing is that there's case law.
What we said, citing Pittsburgh plate glass, we said a union's duty to bargain collectively on behalf of the members of the bargaining union that the union represents does not extend to retired workers because they're not members of the unit. Doesn't that dispose of your argument?
Your Honor,
another example of, what did you call it, groundless dicta, something like that. You had a phrase.
Your Honor, the only thing that we said was dicta in the previous opinion was...
supported dicta, sorry. So why isn't this dispositive? This is part of our holding, right? It's not just...
Your Honor, I would say that...
supported or otherwise, so...
This is the bankruptcy court had due process concerns.
I don't understand. What we say, the ALPA didn't have a duty to your clients. So you want to re-argue that, or do you have some alternative position you're trying to advance?
The position is that ALPA did not have a responsibility to bargain for retired pilots within the context of this bankruptcy. But, Your Honor, we believe that there are possible claims that retired pilots could have against ALPA.
Now, you've lost me. If they had no duty to the pilots, to the retired pilots, what's the basis for the retired pilots to challenge what they did? No duty, no tort. So I don't know what you're...
Your Honor, I think that the exculpation clause, by cutting off rights of retired pilots...
What are the rights? What are the rights? We're saying that we said no duty, which means no duty to your people, meaning they have no rights. If they have no rights, what's there to disclaim?
Your Honor, all I would say is that I don't think the exculpation clause was...
No, but you don't understand. If there are no rights, what's the relevance of exculpation? Exculpation means you're excused from what would otherwise be a duty. If you don't have a duty, you don't reach the issue of exculpation, do you?
Your Honor, we don't think that this is that the bankruptcy court was the forum to prejudge any rights that the...
We judged it, right? That's part of our holding. You can
derive
challenge
from a holding
it,
of the
huh?
Supreme Court. A plan of, desiring to get rid of an exculpation clause so that you can go ask some district judge to ignore the Supreme Court in the Seventh Circuit just doesn't sound like a wise thing for us to do.
Well, do you have anything further you'd like to say?
Nothing further, Your Honor.
Well, thank you very much to all sides.